From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Psalm 138. The great theme of this psalm is worship, particularly how God's people are to worship Him. First, please enjoy a brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Psalm 73 and verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. The psalmist felt his need of divine guidance. He had just been discovering the foolishness of his own heart, and lest he should be constantly led astray by it, he resolved that God's counsel should henceforth guide him. A sense of our own folly is a great step towards being wise when it leads us to rely on the wisdom of the Lord. The blind man leads on his friend's arm and reaches home in safety, and so would we give ourselves up implicitly to divine guidance, nothing doubting, assured that though we cannot see, it is always safe to trust the all-seeing God. Thou shalt is a blessed expression of confidence. He was sure that the Lord would not decline the condescending task. There is a word for thee, O believer. Rest in it. Be assured that thy God will be thy counselor and friend. He shall guide thee. He will direct all thy ways. In his written word thou hast this assurance in part fulfilled, for holy scripture is his counsel to thee. Happy are we to have God's word always to guide us. What were the mariner without his compass? And what were the Christian without the Bible? This is the unerring chart, the map in which every shoal is described, and all the channels from the quicksands of destruction to the haven of salvation, mapped and marked by one who knows all the way. Blessed be thou, O God, that we may trust thee to guide us now, and to guide us even to the end. After this guidance through this life, the psalmist anticipates a divine reception at last, and afterward, receive me to glory. What a thought for thee, believer! God himself will receive thee to glory, thee, wandering, erring, straying, yet he will bring thee safe at last to glory. This is thy portion. Live on it this day. And if perplexity should surround thee, go in the strength of this text straight to the throne.
Thank you.
Over the years since Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many people have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues the second message in a series based on Psalm 138. The text is the opening phrase of verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple. In this day of worship experiences, Dr. Cairns seeks to call God's people back to Christ-centered worship, as it is set forth in the Bible. The text defines true biblical worship, which, as we've seen, is our response to who God is. In the light of God's majesty and holiness, true worshipers must be characterized by deep humility. Then the text denotes the way to worship. The psalmist worshiped toward God's holy temple, that place which in its every part typified the Lord Jesus Christ. So our worship is to be toward Christ. And now to bring God's word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
Worship is the response of the heart to God, what He is, what He has done, what He is doing, what He has promised, and especially in and through the merits and person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever our circumstances, be we young or old, in good health or poor health, be we in a time of revival or in a time of spiritual drought, our God is the same. The Psalm 100 says in verses 3 and 4, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Habitually, continually, daily, and indeed, as we breathe, so let us worship. I will worship continually. But the word that David uses here that's translated worship is a very interesting term because it is a word that simply means I will bow myself down. I will prostrate myself toward thy holy temple. And that verb shows us something of the real meaning of worship. The context of our text tells us that worship includes praise, thanksgiving, and prayer. It includes these elements of Christian service. But the verb tells us a whole lot more because it's a word that speaks of deep humility and self-abnegation. I will bow myself down. That's a word that denotes such a recognition of God's holiness, of God's mercy, of His truth, and of His majesty, as convicts us of our own unworthiness. Let me tell you, there is no such thing as sauntering thoughtlessly into the presence of God. When you hear preachers either preaching or praying with flippancy as they address or speak about God, they are far from God's presence. When you hear yourself even uttering light things, speaking of God in mere trashy, empty, sentimental terms that have no recognition of the awful majesty and overwhelming glory of God, you are far from God's presence, no matter what emotions you may feel. Let us understand this. There is here a deep and terrible emptying of the heart, a prostration not only of the body, but of the mind and the heart and the will and the soul, because in this conviction we are taking our place before God as humble suppliants who are totally dependent upon Him and surrendered to His will. As we prostrate ourselves before God, we are confessing we have nothing, we are nothing apart from grace. And our cry is unto our God. We are expressing our thankfulness for all that He has said, for all that He has done. And we are stating our willingness to hear what He still has to say. And we're stating our willingness to receive what He has to give. He is on the throne. We are on our faces before Him. That's the meaning of the word that David uses. And that is the fundamental meaning of worship. It's an approach to God that fully recognizes our position as sinful creatures, unworthy creatures, in relation to Him, the Almighty Creator and gracious Redeemer. I do not often quote William Temple, one time Archbishop of Canterbury, in many ways a very ecumenical compromiser, so I do not often quote William Temple. But one thing he said about worship, I think, deserves to be recognized as true. He said, "Worship is the submission of all our nature to God. It is the quickening of conscience by His holiness, the nourishment of mind with His truth, the purifying of the imagination by His beauty, the opening of the heart to His love, the surrender of the will to His purpose." This is worship. And that's what our text is doing. It's defining worship in this way. Time forbids that I pursue that and do the reference that I had thought of doing further to Isaiah 40. Another time, perhaps. The second thing our text does in relation to worship is it denotes the way to worship. David says, "I will worship toward thy holy temple." The preposition toward carries with it the idea of movement toward, a turning toward, so that we could well translate this, "I will worship turning to or facing thy holy temple." Now, ever since the days of Moses, the Lord had appointed a place for the children of Israel to sacrifice, to worship, and to meet with Him. We were reading this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 12. You could read something similar in chapter 14, chapter 16, chapter 18. You can go on here. This is a message that's repeated again and again and again in the book of Deuteronomy. But we were reading verse 5 that unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither shall ye come. Verse 6, there you bring your burnt offerings, etc. And verse 7, there shall you eat before the Lord and rejoice in all that you put your hand to. In other words, this is a place for the people to come. Verse 10 through 14 reemphasizes this. When they get over Jordan, there is a place. Now look at verse 14. In the place which the Lord shall choose in one of your tribes, there shalt thou offer thy burnt offering. Now, this was a command that Moses gave, and it's a command that he enabled the children of Israel to fulfill. They didn't always fulfill it, mind you, but he made it possible for them to do so. First of all, he set up the tabernacle in the wilderness. Then when they moved into the land, the tabernacle was established at Shiloh. And then later on, of course, Solomon built the temple according to the plan that the Lord had given to David, his father. And that was the house that God said is my place and I will put my name there. Now, this was a truth that was deeply etched into the consciousness of every devout and godly Israelite. I'm sure you've read in Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah's great prayer before the Lord for the well-being of Jerusalem. And in verse 9, he's saying, remember thy word through Moses. If ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place which I have chosen to set my name there. In other words, Nehemiah could never forget that the Lord had not left the Jews to their own devices. That he had actually set a place and says, it's my place. That's the place of my dwelling. That is peculiarly my temple. It's interesting that that very same word, that's the usual word for temple, is used in about 15 places of the palace of a king. Solomon used it regarding his palace. And I don't think it's pressing it too far to say God set up his temple, first in a mere tent in the wilderness, then at Shiloh, and then on that place that was once Ornan's threshing floor, where Solomon built the great temple of glory, that was the palace of the King of Heaven as he dwelt upon the earth. He says, it's my place. It's my place. And he denoted that in a wonderful way. If you ever visit London, you will always know whether Her Majesty the Queen is in residence at Buckingham Palace. Or if you go out to Windsor, you'll know if she's in residence at Windsor. Why? Because when she is there, the flag is flying and it tells the world, the monarch is in residence. When you go to the tabernacle in the wilderness and all the way through to the temple, there was a flag flying, much better than a flag. There was the Shekinah glory of God, and he was telling the world, this is my palace, this is my house, this is my place. The Jews could never forget that. That was the awesome thought that filled the mind of David as he wrote the words of our text. This is God's dwelling place. And he says, I will turn and I will face the dwelling place of God. And with my face toward God and his glory among us, I will worship thee. Now that place, that house, typified the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that because the Bible says so explicitly. In Psalm 29, verse 9, if you've got a marginal reading in your Bible, you'll see a literal translation of the Hebrew text there. And I must say, it's a translation that I think we should adopt. It is the literal rendering of the words, and it says, every whit of it, and the it is his temple, every whit of it uttereth his glory. That's what makes a study of the temple or of the tabernacle in the wilderness such a fascinating study. because we do have Scripture to tell us that while we must always be chaste in using our imagination, the Scripture itself will show that down to the smallest details of the tabernacle, God's dwelling among men, you have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every whit of it uttereth his glory, the latter part of 29:9 in the book of Psalms. We have even further proof in John chapter 1, verse 14. We read that the Word was made flesh and dwelt. The Word is tabernacled among us. He is the tabernacle of God among men. In John chapter 2, when the Lord Jesus spoke about destroying this temple, he meant his body. He says, I am the temple. He is the Emmanuel, God with us. He is God's dwelling among men. So when David says, I will worship toward thy holy temple, a Christian understands that I'm worshiping with my eyes and with my face toward the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.